All across Horton, the locals have been putting up Christmas decorations in preparation for the coming festivities. Things have been scaled back a bit since last year, though, after the lights on some houses were declared to be a hazard to shipping. This also in part because Cecil used fairy lights to spell out a rude word on the roof of the security headquarters, prompting a bio-waste bombing. Carol singers are wattling their way along the parade, singing traditional Christmas folk songs like Mary's Boy Child, There's No One Quite Like Grandma, and the ever-popular Killing in the Name. In the bar, the usual disco ball on the ceiling has been replaced by a slowly rotating Christmas tree, which is upside down because that's the only way they could fix it to the turny-roundy thing, which kind of works, except the fairy doesn't look very happy. Gusto's Grotto is open for business on the parade. His elves this year are a squad of second-hand medical clones, so he'd expect they'd run a tight ship. Patrons are limited to one present request. All noses must be wiped prior to entering the grotto. Up-to-date vaccination certificates are essential. Those on the sugar high will be sedated and parents will be severely chastised if the whole family aren't wearing vests. A three-year-old who wasn't allowed to take a suspiciously grubby soft toy is now involved in a screaming match with matron elf. She wants to disinfect the offending item but has been told in no uncertain terms that it won't smell right. A second helper is approaching through the candy cane forest with a dark gun, hoping to resolve the issue with minimal resistance. Everyone stops in their tracks as the big screen lights up. A worried face surrounded by flashing red lights and sirens appears and says,
"Our mics are live." What are all these warning lights? Why is nothing working? Oh, sorry. It's just the Christmas lights in the studio. Hi, I'm Sandy Kravis, and welcome to tonight's show where everything is fine. No, really. It's all fine.
I'm Wilma Fingadoo, and I'm in charge of the elf on the shelf. He kept moving around, so I've stapled him on there this time.
Yeah, that wasn't a stapler. That was a nail gun. And now I can't reach the console.
Oh, I'm Norma Snockers, and I'm testing all the selection boxes on the station, just in case.
Yeah, I'm Mike Rochburn, and I've got my baubles out.
Yeah, put them away before you get put off the air. And then let's do some headlines. Cecil is a git.
LCU in the fairy tale of Raxler.
Horton has traditions, allegedly.
Co-carry, caffeination causes chaos.
Alvin's accidental adder annexation.
And I take in a whistle stop tour of this week's BGS.
Cecil this week has completed something new, something different, something entirely unexpected. Mostly because, in truth, we thought he was already doing it. Cecil has applied for a job. Yes, we know what you're thinking. Who on Earth, planet, station, or asteroid would employ Cecil? As many of you know, Hutton Orbital's primary export is Centauri Megagen, useful for pre-drinks, paint stripper, effective degreaser, and high-octane jet fuel. We've even been led to believe that the buckyball racers have been known to slip it into the tanks prior to races for that slight edge. The Hutton Gin distilleries are highly automated, tweaked only by those who know what they are doing. Commander Little Grey has been on their power systems, but as announced at ECM, he was unable to tame the electron snakes into improving the gin output. With all this in mind, one role which cannot be automated is quality control. Each gin batch has to be checked, which, since the conception of the mug, Cecil has been doing dutifully, even if, on occasion, this results in a reduced output. Imagine our surprise when Cecil handed us a formal application. It has in fact turned out Cecil was completing the task free of charge for years. After speaking with Hot HR, yeah, they don't like that name either, but we told them it could be worse, they noticed that while the role of gin inspection tester, that's GIT, has in fact been open for many years. When questioned, Cecil slurred.
I never left after the tour. I just kept drinking the samples she gave me.
So it is with great joy that we now formally accept Cecil as our official GIT, and any complaints about his conduct should be sent directly to the very hot HR.
Once again, LCU No Fool Like One has indeed proven his namesake. To prove, there is indeed no fool like the one and only LCU. A new music video has been released by... I'm not saying that. Okay, technically, I guess he's the only one. So, our favourite canon crooner, with him singing about the events of the season. We're not entirely sure about the seemingly religious event called Thargamus that he sings about, but we are assuming it is a key event in the calendar of the cult of the Far God, which most had believed to have been assimilated by Tharg the Mighty, or suddenly changed their minds when they realised the massive murder flowers were only interested in eating them. Slowly. In the footage, LCU, Fool Me Once, seeks to hire mercenaries for an undisclosed reason. Or at least he refuses to disclose it. We think that he just found them attractive. The mercenary he chose was none other than that of Psykit. She's been well known for plain talking, silky singing, and a specialist in discreet dinosaur deliveries. At first, things appear to go well, with a beautiful duet between them. I mean, beautiful is certainly not objective, as it has also been described as...
a new affront to music.
No, it's not an affront, it's more of a reverse mullet.
Listen to LCU, goodness no, I'm still grinding my teeth after ECM music sets.
This subjective beauty did not last long. Before the end of the song, LCU Fool Me Twice found himself pushed into a malfunctioning escape pod and floating in space with his unmentionables in Thargoid territory. Well, all we can assume is that everyone got what they wanted. Psykit got a new ship. LCU Won't Be Fooled Again got to meet Tharg on Thargamus. And Tharg got a Thargamus lunch.
Galactic festive weekend approaching at speed, there are a number of traditions that the galaxy just can't do without. Buying up everything from the local commodity market that's marked food, buying up all the booze, especially the rare stuff, watching the insert leader of your favourite faction here speech whilst trying not to nod off, and of course watching the Galnet News Space Digest Personality of the Year ceremony. All 6 hours of it, with Commanders Wotherspoon and Beetlejuice holding all the successful pilots out there who've got personality in space. Montages of their greatest Galtube videos, their sporting prowess leaping small SRVs over big mountains, the totalizer on their combat bonds, you name it, they're going through the lot. With clapping and backslapping and tearful acceptance speeches. Then there's the other thing, the festive number one. We don't know whether it will be that wham song for the 400th time. Plenty of you have been sent to Whamhalla. But what we do know is who the biggest number two this season is. It's Elsie No Fool Like One, with Fairy Tale of Raxler. On streams alone, he's managed to rack up enough hours of playtime to qualify for the top 10. When you add in the Thargoid Resin Pressed Vinyl Special Edition, he's comfortably in the number 2 slot. The only reason he's not number 1? The Federation have vowed to empty their coffers just enough to buy up enough songs to keep him from galactic fame, from being played over and over every year and celebrated almost as much as those silly sausage rolls were. As long as it isn't that awful Mariah Carey song, though, that would be a step too far.
Inco Carrie, the home of Hutton's fleet carrier administration bases, chaos struck this week after what can only be described as a catastrophic infrastructure failure. According to the witnesses, the incident began with the station's beloved coffee machine, Perculator Prime, being left running at maximum strength for 7 straight days in an attempt to brew something strong enough to keep the night shift awake. Unfortunately, Perculator Prime did exactly that, overheating and frying the station's main power relays in a caffeine-fueled tantrum. The engineering team, led by the infamous Sparky, attempted to reroute emergency power through what they described as a logical alternative. This turned out to be the karaoke lounge, causing the station's main control system to blink in time with the ongoing rendition of Bohemian Rhapsody. The docking bays were first to fail, leaving commanders circling outside the station while frantically attempting to find someone who knew how to press the reset button. Meanwhile, the fleet carrier admin desk resorted to stamping all forms with what appeared to be the station's dinner menu and politely asking commanders to come back later. Mia Harkness, Hutton's one and only fully trained apology officer, Onion Officer, eventually arrived to address the situation, not the station.
"We're sorry that docking isn't available,"
they said, standing on the admin desk with a cup of indie bourbon in hand.
"We're also sorry that coffee machine appears to have achieved sentience. And yes, we're aware that someone is stuck in the airlock while it plays disco lights. I'll apologise personally once I've located whoever thought it was a good idea to let Sparky touch the wiring."
Hutton Administrator Moon Unit Rainworther, who was on the station audit, the paper towel inventory, said,
I came here for the paperwork, and instead I got a karaoke contest and what smells suspiciously like a melted data terminal. On the plus side, the vending machine is still working, so I'm stocked up on snacks."
The station's janitor, Denise Gongthrottle, was less enthused.
"They blame the coffee machine, but it's my mop closet they rerouted power through. Now I've got sparks flying out of my bucket and someone's decided to practice karaoke in the dark. I've got half a mind to lock the lot of them out."
By the time the systems were fully restored, fleet carrier captains and commanders may have found other solutions, or at least another station. Sparky has been reassigned to untangling a pile of Centauri Megajin crates and given strict instructions not to touch anything more complex than a light switch.
Drama struck the orbital this week. Well, an adder, actually. It was late in the evening and Alvin was lounging on his comfy bed in his office, whilst Lael Wolf was doing the do with station paperwork. There's a lot of it at the moment. And Cecil was snoozing in the comfy chair watching the latest edition of Desoans Do the Strangest Things on Ice, when there was an almighty crash from the room next door. Thinking that Mr. Shouty had fallen over something again, Lael raised one ginger eyebrow. Alvin lifted his head off the cushion and gave a little bark, and Cecil snapped awake and jumped to his feet. Well, fell out of his chair. The crash was followed by the poff noise of something inflating, a slamming door, and the sound of running feet. Not booted running feet, more the pitter-patter of bare flesh on metal, which, given the zero-G nature of the situation, was more than a little startling. A Momus Bog Spaniel detachment was called, and alarms started blaring throughout the station. Arriving at the scene, concerned Hutton truckers spotted the nose of a black adder. Someone thought it was very cunning, sticking through the wall of the orbital. What's more, the driver was nowhere to be seen. Their boots were still in the cockpit, and there was a distinct whiff of indie bourbon about the place. Suspecting that someone had been FUI, that's flying under the influence, the team set about locating the driver whilst the damage was inspected. The adder had missed Alvin's office by only a few dozen feet. It had instead crashed into his personal rock collection, sending one lump of granite bouncing off the far wall and turning some of his most prized sedimentaries into dust. The granite had gone through a wall and narrowly missed puncturing one of the distilling tanks for the Centauri Megagin, which was handy as that stuff goes boom. Safety systems had launched the auto-seal-o-matic around the breach in the station hull. That was the poff noise. The pilot, more than a little worse for wear, had been attempting to dock with the station and mistook the Christmas lights for landing lights. And of course the deploy landing gear button for the boost button. Easily done, even sober. The Momus Bog Spaniel security detachment finally located him wandering around the indoor agroponic gardens without any shoes on. A little bit ouch, as Alvin has been cultivating a particularly prickly specimen of rose in recent months. Breathalyzing wasn't necessary, as when approached, he floored a couple of the security team with the fumes, and an errant spark caused blowback, redecorating the arboretum in various shades of red. Floor mopping guy has scraped up the bits as best he can, and they've been arrested, sent to Nurse Wyeth in place of a Christmas jigsaw, and once she's put him back together again, he can expect a long sentence. Probably starting with, "Now look here."
Welcome to the Hutton BGS bit, where we leap headfirst into the neatly raked pile of leaves that is the BGS and hope there isn't a concrete bollard in the middle. This week is a bit of a strange one. There are no real wars for us to be involved in, but Barnard Star has emerged from infrastructure failure and investment continues there. Bull 630 is experiencing a terrorist attack this week, so security is on high alert over there. Then there is the drought in the Renzies and a bit of civil unrest in Bismere. But what does that all mean? Well, if you want to shoot it, then a bit of bounty hunting in either Bull 630 or Bismere will help to stabilise things. If you want to trade it, then trade water and other emergency supplies, whatever they are, to Narensis. And if you want to run missions, then the great and bountiful Barnard Star investment promises rewards beyond the dreams of avarice. And that's it for this week's Hutton BGS bit.
That was a good start.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
almost completely seamless.
Almost?
Oh, almost, yes. Even the bit where I had your name wrong at the start.
Yeah, that really threw me, that.
Yeah, I thought it was Mike Rochburn's Tech Monkey Night, and then I saw the chat went, "Oh, no, it's not, change everything," and forgot to change the name.
Yeah, it was going to be, but seeing as his deck's all set up and working and mine's got to completely change that audio system, I've moved half of my hard drives around, including all of the ones that all of the Hutton Media is stored on, and OBS has crashed back to desktop on me twice so far today. We thought I should do it instead.
Yeah, that's much more.
What could go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong?
So when we all fall over, I'll bring it back up in a bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yes. So this is the last show before Christmas.
It is the last show before Christmas.
It is. It's the last Thursday before Christmas.
Yeah.
Only seven more sleeps.
Or Thargmas, I should say.
Thargmas, yes. Oh, dear. Is Thargmas the Mighty still in? I thought he'd retired.
No, he's just taking a few weeks' holiday.
Ah, right. Okay, then.
I've just noticed that LCU has also done The Night Before Thargmas as well as The Fairy Tale for Axe.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
No.
Oh, no. It was The Night Before Thargmas and also The Station.
Yeah, that's the one. The meta alloys have been hung with care, but let's not go there this
year. No one was moving, not even a Haitian.
Causing great consternation.
Yes.
Oh dear. So, was there a Frontier live stream this week?
Not that I'm aware of.
Was there a Frontier recording stream this week?
Not that I'm aware of.
No.
Was there
anything?
Well, in all fairness, we're not aware of much usually.
There's a in-game event.
Yeah. Has anybody lost any Secret Santa sleigh bases recently?
Secret Santa sleigh bases? What?
You know, like, what is it, Sarah Claus, is she called, or something?
Oh, I haven't seen
Sandra Claus.
Sandra Claus.
Sandra Claus.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's her toy delivery system's down again. Something to do with the fact that there are tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands additional stations to cover. I think a database ran out of disk space or something.
Yeah. See, that happens to her every year. I don't think that system's fit for purpose.
No.
Yeah.
Well, it works fine for 50 weeks of the year, to be fair.
Yeah, to be fair, it does work fine for 50 weeks. Yeah. It's great in January. There's never a problem in January.
Yep, this is true.
Maybe it was the last patch. Who knows?
Could have been. Maybe she should have sewed it onto the knee of her jeans instead.
So, without spoiling it for anybody, what is the Christmas mystery this year?
It's the mystery of who to deliver the presents to.
Nobody knows.
Yeah, it's a set of 8 mini mysteries.
Okay.
They're self-contained, if you like.
Oh, that's quite nice. Yeah. And
that's why they call it a mystery, though, isn't it? Nobody knows.
Are there fabulous prizes to be won?
Yeah, there's.
You've got the usual firework launchers.
Yes.
The funny flak. They're actually the funny remote release flak launchers that don't do any damage and look funny colours. You get some paint jobs. You get some credits.
Oh, sounds good.
Yeah. Gosh, fire those things off inside the station like a certain person did a couple of years ago.
Oh no, who was that?
So. I think they do actually do something like 1 damage.
I don't think they do any damage, but they still technically count as an illegal weapons discharge.
Yeah.
Yeah, well...
Mr. Hankey did it.
Oh, surely not. It's a wonder the 10th Fleet haven't ejected them for the ranks.
So it would be quite a trick, though, actually to have dealt some damage to anything, because I thought stations shoot those down immediately. Like a straightaway upon release, they go zip, zap, zap, and it shoots the projectiles.
Yeah, but technically you've still fired it.
Right, but if it doesn't do any damage to anyone, then at least you haven't.
But it's not based on aggressed.
Yeah, it's, you might get a reckless weapons discharge fine, but apart from that. Yeah,
but in the station, they're not going to put up with that.
No, they'll recklessly discharge their weapons just to show you can do it better.
And you get your hard points deployed inside the station.
Although what is fun is doing it over a fleet carrier. So if you just got people launching them over your fleet carrier, the carrier just blasts them all down straight over it.
Nice. That's going to be good at New Year.
Nice if a little sticky.
Oh. Okay, so that's the mysteries then. We're leaving them quite mysterious then.
Yeah, quite mysterious. That's what mysteries are for.
Yes. Anything else going on? Because I've been a bit busy this week. I haven't.
There is something else actually. Which now that you've reminded me to remind people not to forget to do it, you have, as mentioned on the previous show, I think you have rewards which you can claim for 0 arcs.
The stolen ones.
Yes. So they're still being revealed, I think.
But they are.
I think, and you've got until, was it just after January the 4th or something like that to get them? The 8th, there we go. Yeah. So don't forget to grab those. That is still ongoing.
That sounds interesting. I've had a couple of them. I got up to, I think there was an SRV paint job. There was a ship paint job that I can't remember. It was the
So far, there has been a Mandalay Griffin Contrast Blue paint job,
yes.
an SRV Fractional Orange paint job, a TK Apelion Ion Green skin, a Cobra Mark V Planar Forest, quite a nice subdued green, a Karma P15 Battalion Teal, a Type 8 Convoy Chromatic Red, a Corsair Arcus in Scarlet, which is a nice red and gold one, good for the season, a Manticore nice. Intimidator in Hydrolysis Blue, try saying that quickly three times, a Scorpion in Tactical Green, and today's is a Python Mark II Military Sand, or it might have been yesterday's, it's hard to tell.
Python Mark II Military Sand, okay.
Mm-hmm. It's sand that marches left, right, left, right, left, right, you see. So.
Is that any relation to Sandy Crevice?
We think it's a second cousin, three times removed.
Okay.
He keeps coming back, so we remove him again.
Keeps coming back, yes. Dear. Right, okay. Well, that sounds fantastic. That sounds good. I'll need to get logged in later on. I'll need to get the patch first and jump in and have a wee look and see what's kicking about then.
Cool.
Yeah.
But you can pick them all up. You don't have to be there every day that they go live. You can log in later in the day and pick up all of the ones that you've missed so far.
That's what I'm thinking. I'll have to get some retrospectively. So
yeah.
There is also quite a wide discount on most other ship kits and skins and such.
I've seen quite a lot that were on there last week. We're at 20% off and things like that. So it's a reasonable amount as well.
Hmm. Yep, very festive of them.
Yes. I'm looking at that Caspian Explorer Galactic. Is that the...
That's the All Bells and Whistles one.
Yeah, okay. It does look fancy. It's got the hologram hologram overlay.
Yeah, does look good, that one.
Yes. There we go. Right, okay. That sounds jolly interesting. I didn't realise all that was going on. So, right, are we ready for space news? Maybe?
I think we might be.
Okay. When you don't know where to get more space news, 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 space news. First one, some of this might have aged a wee bit since the last time we were on here, but two Russian cosmonauts, I think they're Russian cosmonauts, two cosmonauts and an astronaut have returned to Earth after 245 days in space, which is why they're being carried out of the space capsule.
They say they are going to be wrecked. How long is that going to take them to get back to normality, do we think?
Yeah.
Because
all the zero Gs just going to... Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I think they do some exercise on the station. I think it's like a treadmill you can strap yourself into and it holds you on it and things like that.
There is, yeah.
It's still an impressive amount of time to stay in space in one go.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. What's that, 8 months, give or take?
Two-thirds of a year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It reminds me, actually, of an article that we missed a few weeks back after the latest Russian successful launch to the station. There was significant damage to the launch pad.
Okay.
Yes.
So Russia is currently in the situation of desperately working on repairing it, but some of the structural work may take many months or even years. So possibly desperately working on bringing a secondary pad online instead for orbital launches.
Yeah.
Because otherwise they're going to be in the fun situation of having to ask for lifts on American launch vehicles like the US has been for the last few years.
Yes, or private.
Well, they are the American launch vehicles, the private ones. Yes, NASA doesn't go anymore.
No. NASA still has... How many launch pads has NASA got, though? They've got a few, haven't they?
Plenty. Yeah, they can launch stuff if they need to.
Yeah.
I mean, they rent out the launch pads to SpaceX. So.
Yeah, so it might be that the Russians launch Russian spacecraft from American pads.
I can't see that happening.
What is the longest anyone has spent
in space.
Oh, I remember the twins. There was one went up and one stayed down. He's about the longest, isn't he?
He was just over a year, but I'm pretty sure somebody's been up there for about 18 months.
Wow.
Let's find out.
The power of the internet.
Yes.
Tappy, tappy, tappy.
Tappy, tappy.
That would be 14 months, 437 days and 18 hours.
Wow.
A Russian, of course.
Yeah.
And it was on the Mir station, I think. No?
Okay.
Yes, yes, it was on Mir.
And was it on purpose?
Yeah, they were going for a long stay. The Russians had done a huge amount of extended duration testing. For most of the history of spaceflight, the Russians have held the record for longest stays in space.
Yeah.
From the very first trips, they were putting people up for many days longer than the Americans, and that's when people were up for a few hours or a day, and the Russians were doing like 3, 4, 5, 6 days missions. And...
Yeah. Okay. Well, so then, yeah. So they're back after 245 days. Everybody's well.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll need to start building themselves up again there.
Yep. Back just in time for Christmas.
Yay!
The strong love
Christmas in space. Christmas in space is quite special, though, isn't it?
I suppose it keeps you away from the family. That's a good thing.
Yeah, it's peaceful, at least. I mean, you're breathing all sorts of things, but, you know, it's fine.
Yeah. I guess you get a great view of Santa.
Yeah, you do. And they've got a coffee machine. So, you know, the Italians brought a coffee machine up. So
of course.
Everybody's
of course they did.
They weren't going to space without a coffee machine. That was
I hope they don't leave it on for 7 days straight.
Yes, yes, on maximum setting. Oh, dear. So there you go. So that's that one.
Okay. Next.
And the next one is the Indian Solar Mission. I should have heard something about this ages ago and then completely forgot about it. But it's Aditya L1.
Sun.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's getting quite close. So I think this thing's like a solar observatory, this thing that they've sent up there. Mm-hmm. But what they're saying is it's in the perfect position to record the sun's activity because 2026 is expected to... It's in here a year like no other. And then it tells you there's an 11-year cycle when the sun's magnetic poles flip, which is astonishing.
A year like no other in the last 11 years.
Yes, that's pretty much what I was thinking, yeah. But it will be like no other because they'll actually have the solar observatory up there and just observing and picking up everything that's happening. So they're expecting a lot of solar storms, coronal mass ejections. Yeah. It says, I was going to say big bubbles, but it says big bubbles in the article. So they blow up and pop.
Solar maximum at the moment is the reason why Amelia is missing the Northern Lights so often.
Yes. It's not to do that she keeps forgetting and doing something else instead.
But, no, of course not.
Yes. So the... Oh. So let's have a look. 15 hours cover 150 million kilometres Earth Sun distance. In the normal or low activity times, the Sun reaches 2 or 3 coronal mass ejections a day. This is Professor R. Ramesh of the Indian Institute of Astrophysics. He says next year we expect to see 10 or more daily. So it's going up. You know what I mean? So
it's down again.
Yeah, it's about 3 times the normal. And they'll be there to see it all and record what's happening as the sun's poles flip. So, yeah, very exciting time to have an observatory up looking at the sun.
Yeah.
It's almost like they planned it.
Amazing.
Yeah. So there you go. So, yep, that's very exciting to see. And that's that one. I can't remember what the third one is. Oh, the Eurospace Dome. I think it was me that called it the Eurospace Dome.
The Millennium Dome, is that? Or the Space Dome.
I think it's maybe bigger than the Millennium Dome. Well, it's they're saying that they're plotting a multi-mission European Defence Space Network. I think what they're doing is planning a European Defence Network. So, yeah, Norway and Germany have joined forces to bolster Europe's sovereign intelligence and communication capabilities. So I don't think they're shooting anything down. I think this is more about being able to be able to see things and, fly over stuff and things like that. And yeah, so it's a German defence firm. I think there's something about throwing snowballs with your gloves on or something like that. And Isur Aerospace Facilities in Norway. So yeah, it looks like it's small satellites. So I think it's like ones you don't need to go to a big company to get them launched. I think it's quite low key. You can send them up in like smaller rockets. So they can send them up to private companies or, fire them up for Europe. They're probably some of these kind of oil rig or, sea platform ones. And that place up in there's a place up in Orkney, I think. I don't know if that's gone live yet, but they're going to be firing rockets. So there's lots of places where they can fire these from because they're only quite small satellites. And once they're up, they'll give us, they'll give, for a fee, I'm thinking, but they'll give kind of intelligence overviews of things, which will be fancy. It's great if you're one of these, if you're living in one of these countries or you're working for that company, I suppose. But yeah, there we go.
Great until it's cloudy. You don't get a very good picture through the cloud.
It depends on what kind of camera you've got, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they're using radar, the clouds won't matter.
Would you use radar at that sort of range? Surely you'd just end up with blobs so large you wouldn't be able to see anything.
You can get radar down to centimeter band, which gives you centimetre resolution.
I'm sorry, I'm reading through a book about the Falklands War at the moment, and it goes into some detail about radar. That's old radar.
Yeah, that's old.
Yeah, that was before a lot of our listeners were even born.
Before I was born, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
to you, I was born. Was born.
Oh, yeah, of course it is, aye.
Young
whippersnappers, a lot of you. Yeah, so this seems to be, as I say, that's how they map Venus. So they might use that, they might use, they'll have all sorts of, if it's going to be like spy satellites, it'll have all sorts of things on it. Just as long as I'm not selling to the Russians. But there we go. So next one is quite a traditional one, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
I got asked this in a quiz that Psycho Cow did for me and people in work. This was one of the questions of who tracks Santa every year?
Ah, but it's more than one option these days.
Yeah.
You can choose NORAD, the traditional Santa tracking provider, is getting outdone.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
I love the story of how it got started.
Was go it for
like
it.
Continental air defense or something like that. It started.
Yeah,
no, it was Sears catalog or Sears Roebuck store published a hotline for Santa for children to call, but they put the wrong phone number in.
Oh, and they did not.
Got the top secret military hotline to NORAD by mistake.
That's brilliant. What a mistake at a maker. So these kids were phoning up NORAD and going, where is Santa now?
So they very quickly got some poor private to have the duty of answering these calls and being nice to the kids because, well, it was Christmas and they felt nice about it.
Yeah.
But it went so well and they were doing such a fun job of it and making so many kids happy that it's become a thing.
Yeah.
And now NORAD tracks Santa every year, and you can go onto their website now and track him and see how it's going. And in fact, I think that's the next one we've got to bring up. So let's have a.
Well, no, the. Sorry, yeah, that one is. Yeah. I will put that into the chat for anyone who has small sprogs. However, I won't be showing it to my daughter because she's already, at the age of 7, worked or logicked herself out of it. Go figure. She clever. Oh,
there it's telling you. Air Force Colonel Harry Shoup. The operations officer assigned to the North American Aerospace Defense Command, who answered the child's wrong number call and began the tradition of NORAD tracking Santa Claus on December 24th, 1955.
Yeah, just to be clear,
in March.
The phone number they had didn't just come through to the switchboard. This was the hotline to the base commander in the event that the president needed to call him to say, have the Russians launched?
Yep.
This was the number to get wrong.
That's just fantastic. Aye. Harry Shoup, or Shoup. It was CONAD then, so it was Continental Air Defence. And later on, it became NORAD.
Yeah.
At least they didn't think it was a nuclear missile. I could have gone badly wrong.
See, I didn't know about this. I think it's incredibly cute.
Oh, it is. It's absolutely brilliant. And they reacted so well and so quickly to it as well.
Yeah.
Brilliant. I mean, in terms of PR and things like that, it's just fantastic.
Yeah.
But they just do it every year now.
Yeah. But obviously with him not having taken off yet, because it's still a week till Christmas.
Yeah.
It's just a countdown so far.
Yeah. But on the night you can go on the website and you can see Santa plotted out on a map of the earth. You can see where he is and where he's going. Yeah.
It's cool. It's sweet. And it must be great for kids.
Mm-hmm. I remember doing this with my dad when we had dial-up internet. And it was awful. But it was like, I really appreciate what they're trying to do, but this is so badly executed.
Just the dial-up internet.
Santa's in Norway, and then you refresh the page. You're like, Santa's in Spain.
Yeah, it was basically like, that.
Santa's over Africa now.
Just whatever you do, don't do the maths on the acceleration he goes through.
Oh, no, you can't do that. It's magic. You can't even.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I personally enjoy the blood alcohol content calculation. If you're sharing every single house.
Add the blood sugar after all those cookies.
He shares them with the reindeer, though, so it spreads that one out a bit more.
Yeah.
But it does explain why Rudolph's nose glows.
Yeah. You try flying a belly full of carrots.
But yeah, I thought I'd put that one, just drop that one in. I'd shared it with the school recently, and there's Flight Radar as well that do something very similar, where you can just track him as well around air traffic control routes and see where he's off to. There you go.
Is that the kind of flight tracker one? Where you can see your... Yeah.
I love exactly the registration number.
I think
just some little bits. I'll get it.
I think this was something skips... like a... Sorry.
This gives me an idea for the Pilots Federation. Mm-hmm. So you remember how when a Titan, a Thargoid Titan, is moving, that you can see it on the FSS from hundreds of light years away?
Mm. Yeah.
Sandra Kors.
Sandra Kors in the FSS.
He's saying she is a...
You can imagine Sandra Kors whizzing around the bubble. And,
just a tracker for her.
Yeah. Well, as in, like, there's an actual signal that moves around, and you can see it move between systems. Yeah,
that would be good. Maybe for next year, we can suggest that one. See if they take it seriously. Oh, that was good.
Yeah, but I think that's all the space news we have this week.
That was a nice one to finish on.
And that's 70 years they've been doing that now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, isn't it? Flight Rider has been doing it for 5 years, and then NORAD has been doing it forever.
70 years from NORAD, yeah.
Yeah.
Super.
Space news.
Do we have a word of the week?
We do have a word of the week this week. And the word of the week this week is Handschuh Schneeball.
Very good. Yes.
Handschuh Schneeball.
That's not what he said.
It really isn't.
Handschuh Schneeball.
Yeah, that one.
No, I don't think
you
said pervert at the end.
That's just your
ears, Schneeball Pervert. And I mean, I think I'm going to get told off for not rolling my R's as well.
We must be in the dregs now to actually be switching languages.
It's going to be German word of the week next week.
We've been in the dregs for a while.
We have had one non-English word before. It was like the second or third word of the week at all that we ever did. I don't know if anyone remembers what that one is, but I do.
Oh, gosh, no. Please tell me that's not the quiz.
No, it wasn't. It was a Finnish word. It was kalsarakennit.
Oh, yeah.
Which meant pants drunk.
Pants drunk.
So, anyway, Handschuh Schneeball, Pfeffer, what does it mean?
A wuss or a coward, one who is overly cautious, a gloved snowball thrower.
Dare I ask, can you use it in a sentence, please?
Oh, you just watch me read out what the apology officer wrote.
It's not rude.
Gusto called the toilet inspector a shower of Handschuh Schneeball. They declined to enter cubicle 3 without donning hazmat suits.
Oh,
doubling up on to hazmat
suits. Hazmat suits on.
I managed to mess up the sentence and the word. That's a bit special.
New record.
We have a spelling. If you can see that on the screen, it takes up nearly the whole line.
You'll have to record the stream and play it back as it scrolls, I think, for that one.
Listen, we'll try and get you something like... something simple, like a 4 or 5 letter word for next week.
Well,
for next
if we can just try and make sure that the word itself is, you know, shorter than the definition, that would be good.
Yeah, yeah. No promises, but we'll see what we can do.
Slevin, no, this is German, not Klingon. It is a well-known language.
And the German is Handschuh, is gloves in German. So it's hand shoes. And Schneeball is snowball, and Werfer is thrower.
One who throws.
A gloved one who throws.
Yes.
That'll be a Handschuh Werfer.
Yeah, he's wearing his handshoes. That's fantastic. That's a very good word.
That's a very good word. I like the way it reads.
Yes. Handschuh Schneeball Werfer. I'm going to remember that one and start using it. It just was.
Do we have a quiz this week? Or?
Yep. Oh. We probably don't have the funny intros from Radio Raxler, but we do indeed have a quiz.
Oh.
Yeah, we don't have any music for us. That's hiding on David's computer, I'm afraid. Yeah, so we'll not worry about that. So welcome to this show's quiz, which everyone's welcome to join over at quiz.iniv.space in a browser window or on the side with a mobile device, as the link has just been put in the chat. I haven't even got through the thing yet. To celebrate the superstellar ship-smacking success with a clear Imperial campaign victory in the opening gambit to guzzle up all the galaxy's supply of Radicoida Unica, this week it's all about my new empire. Okay, it might not be mine and it might not be new, but it does bring peace, freedom, justice and security.
Everyone listening live is very welcome to take a luxury courier cruise over to quiz.innov.space now or at any time during the quiz to join in. So you can post the trivia tidbits you know and just order an Imperial slave to throw guesses at anything you don't. And I'll give everyone a moment to file in, which I can see is occurring now. Ah, do you really have to? Yeah, I suppose you have to put that length of name.
Somebody did a struct testing again.
Has somebody put the hand gloves in?
Is it my name?
Yeah, it's yours.
Yeah, it's my name. I have the silliest name in the galaxy.
No, it's just a silly quiz interface that doesn't deal with it properly.
Brutal.
All right, and that's three more there.
I'm now trying to work out how to mesh the words space and Rome together. Like Sprome or something.
So I think that's most four-stroke all representing. But, and as I said, everyone's welcome to join while we're underway. It just lets you straight in. That being the case, let me go over to the thing that actually sets it to not be upcoming. And let us begin with round one, which is all about Imperial governance.
What an exciting subject.
Question one. How many senators form the Imperial Senate?
I do not know.
If you don't know, take a guess. Seriously, just guess. I don't know what to do with people who just say quite honestly that they don't know, but I do know what to do with guesses. And that's occasionally give 1 to 2 points if they get close.
It's not multiple options, so it's like, is there
just say too many.
I feel that he could take points away if you use insults in this open space. Just saying.
80085.
You're not the only one. I have never assigned negative points to anything ever.
So. Is that a challenge?
I will give points for the just for the closest answer, at least on this one. Do you have the thingy button?
I do.
Question two. What form of government is traditional in the Empire? And you do have a multiple choice this time from cooperative, corporate, democracy, dictatorship, feudal, patronage, theocracy.
You haven't got oppressive.
I don't know what these words mean. I know what some of them mean.
No, it's none of them. You're wrong.
Have you ever, like, looked at any faction ever?
Not really. I don't do the faction stuff.
Nope. Not me.
Yeah, of course we've looked at factions.
I'm just a simple miner.
You only need to look at the faction for Hutton. There's no others that matter.
Exactly.
Well, you see, Hutton is a cooperative. That's the government type. So that's right. Yeah.
We cooperate, player with player.
But that's not the question.
Then the question's wrong.
Detonation in 10 seconds.
You have to click post. I mean, yeah. Click go.
Oh, too late.
Yep, okay. Oh, damn.
Question three. In credits, what is the deposit cost of a petition to become a senator? So this is the credits paid to the emperor, which is returned upon a successful campaign. but to filter out people who waste the Imperial Senate's time, there is a deposit.
So you pay to lose?
Well, I mean, for local elections in a country on Sol 3, it's like, was it £2,000 or something?
They don't want any poor scum getting into the councils or parliament, you see.
Sorry. Oh, that's a good answer.
Detonation in 10 seconds. Oh, crap, I ran out of space.
And space is big. I mean, like, really big.
Let's see how we did.
Are you sure?
Not really, no. but still. It's 1,000 senators, which is quite a few. Technically quite a lot. I suppose I gave a point for quite a lot. I was feeling generous. Then I gave points for closest sort of answers to 1,000.
How is 69 close to 1,000?
It was closer than anything other than 108.
There you go. That's the reason.
I think you just liked it.
Oh dear. Traditional government is a patronage system. So
toss up between two.
What was the other one?
Dictatorship. No,
feudal. Could have been feudal.
There are local factions of all different types, but classically they use the ancient Roman patronage system. And it is a billion credits. We might need the panel to do a bit of a referee job on this one, because I don't know one Brazilian credit was supposed to be 1 billion credit.
I think you can give the benefit of the doubt on that one.
Okay, I'll give it. I still doubt a little bit, but I'll give it a point. There we go. There's a point for that.
I see you had boobies written both ways.
Oh dear, so we did. Okay.
And somebody going elitist.
We did? Oh, yeah. Round two is all about the Imperial Navy. Question one. Who commands the Imperial Navy? Your multiple choice options are Aisling Duval, Anders Blaine, Arissa Lavinji Duval, Denton Petraeus, Jenna Fairfax, John Tyburn, Lucius Lavinji, or Zemina Porval.
I like it when it's multiple choice because I've got like a 1 in 10 chance of getting it right.
Whoop, whoop. It's how I passed my exams, you know.
I like multiple choice because it means I don't have to type.
Yeah, that too.
Is Mooncake helping you?
Mooncake is, yes. She's sitting here on my lap, very cosy, and she's, you know, giving me pointers, whispering in my ear.
Question two. How many capital ship hardpoints are on a Majestic class interdictor? So that is the thing you see on the picture. But how many hardpoints does it have?
I remember seeing one of these for the first time in game randomly, and I was like, what the hell is that? And had to go up and see it. They are huge. I think I saw
They're
it.
Very like, pretty.
They are what you want to be in, but like, it doesn't look like a battleship, does it? It doesn't, like, you'd hit that ring in the wrong place and it's in trouble.
Yes, but they've got to have the ring that shape so that they can probably spin up the cyclotron to distill the whiskey properly.
That is a gravity ring.
Yes, yes it is. So they can have a drink whilst...
It's to keep the water in the jacuzzis.
I always liked the design of that ship. I always thought it was very elegant looking.
Just a pity it looks like somebody's had it pierced at the back and fitted a gauge.
And it's the flesh hole. It is the pride of Gutemeyer's shipyards. See. I think that's probably all the yeah. And question three. What is your Imperial Navy rank?
Hilarious.
Got to remember now.
I'll never forget my Imperial Navy rank because I think it's incredibly sexist.
Well, that rules it down to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah, 11 of them.
Yeah. I'm sure I'll have to discover the rank which Naughty Body Wash works so hard to get. It's going to be like...
I was going to say, is it like
knight or squire or something?
it's going to be whichever one unlocks the ship he was after. Let's face it.
I need to get my drop ship back.
That's federal, not imperial.
No, what am I?
You'll be grinding imperial rank for a long time to get a drop ship.
Oh,
we can cancel if you.
No, we're good. Detonation in 10 seconds.
First one didn't keep the powder dry.
Powder dry in space.
And we have. Denton Petraeus is the Fleet Admiral of the Imperial Navy. Zemi Torval is, well, used to run Torval Mining. That's now her daughter. Zemi Torval is now just a senator. Aisling Duval is the princess. Arissa Lavinia Duval doesn't command the Imperial Navy, only the Imperial Guard. So that's the personal guard. Lucius Lavinia, he is an admiral, but he's the commander of Lavinia's Legion, not the Imperial Navy. So, there we go.
All right.
Oh, well done. did I not show any answers for that one? Just a moment.
Apparently not.
Oh, let me enable those. There we go.
Many. Why don't I go for these answers?
Why, indeed. It was points for the nearest. That's seven. Go on.
It is definitely incentive to put a very vague answer in every time.
I'm sorry, but you shouldn't give it for many because any proper fan of Pratchett would know that that means three.
That is true.
Oh, so if many mean... Oh, well, set it to zero then. There we go.
It's troll counting. One, two, many lots.
Oh, well, it's wrong then. thank Litho for that. I don't know who put it. I haven't checked. But in any case, it's so the 17. So it's 3 beams and 14 railguns is what a Majestic class interdictor has. So 12 was relatively close of those. And we have, more often than not, commanders have the Duke rank, which is indeed what you need to get the Imperial Cutter.
Funny that.
Yeah, 54% of people who got the Cutter and then didn't just get Prince or King. Just up and left.
Yeah.
Well, why?
It is quite a lot of effort, too.
Is there any other reason to do power play other than get the ships and the doodads?
That's not power play. That's Imperial rank,
although, yeah, it's not although the answer's the same. So for many commanders, not really, no.
Yeah. And to be fair, you also get permits to the capital systems.
Yeah, they come.
And a couple of other navy yards and stuff.
Yeah, that's on the way to the, yeah.
Yeah.
Naughty Buddy Wash says you don't think you can get Prince or King. You can get Prince or King, yeah. Duke is the highest you need to get all the rewards. That is true. But you can go beyond to Prince and King. So.
He's about 10 kings.
Yeah, it's the same on the Federation. So was it Rear Admiral for the long coffin like one, you know, the Federal Corvette, that's the one. But you could go further if you wanted. So. Okay, round three. You just scroll me thingy. Round three is Imperial Law. That's L-O-R-E law, as in, you know, not legal.
Guilty.
As in true.
That is how it works.
Question one. Who was Aisling Duval's father?
Well, if she doesn't know.
No. It is known. It's not that sort of question, though. So your options. Oh, and you can see your options. I'm not going to read all of those.
Her shoulder piece looks like the gravity ring on the interdictor.
Do you think Kutumaya jacuzzi in it?
It's got the Kutumaya sort of spirals on her back and her butt.
You shouldn't be looking. You're a happily married person.
Yeah.
You can't look either.
Either that, or he's shopping for a gift, perhaps.
Well, he's buying a sexy butt with spirals for his wife. Well, it takes all sorts, I suppose.
Well, this has escalated quickly.
I do hope she doesn't listen to the show.
No, she thinks it's completely bizarre.
Question two. Which system is the capital of the Marlinist colonies? And so again, multiple choice. Those were the group that split off from the Empire, but still have a diplomatic connection. It's either Aventine, Baltasine, Beatus Secundus, Bedrock, Concordia, Eudora, Haven, or New Channa. There is indeed an existing system called Channa. I actually checked that, but it's not that one.
Marlinist. Marlinist rings a bell. I can't place it as a...
Yeah, so they're the followers of democratic system, instituted by Marlin Duval from the original separatists from the Federation who fled to Akinar. They didn't want the patronage system, they wanted to vote instead. So that was hence the further separatist movement from the Empire. And they're also the peaceful ones, not the the NMLA, you know, those guys.
So letters. Did the explosion the right.
Is it the Neo-Marlist Liberation Army? Something like that. Splitters.
Detonation in 10 seconds.
Commander Raiden's joining in. Splitters!
And finally, which day of the year is Empire Day?
Every day.
There is the Empire does have the equivalent of a national day. You could call it an Imperial Day. And it is a particular day of the year.
Apparently somebody gave a good answer.
I do enjoy listening to the chuckles.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it never usually lines up with when I've entered something.
detonation in 10 seconds.
And we have Harold Duval is Aisling Duval's father. Hadrian Augustus Duval is Aisling's cousin. Hengist Duval is Aisling's grandfather. And Hector Mordanticus Duval is the child. Have I got it on my list?
Well, it's Harold, and I've changed my mind.
I couldn't remember whether it was Harold or Hengist. Guess which one I had.
Yeah, Hector is only, he was born in 3307. I usually list all the things so I can tell people what they are, but I missed that one.
Which one is Hadrian Augustus Duval? Because I'm sure I've heard that name before.
He was the splitter, wasn't he?
Is Aisling's cousin.
Mm-hmm.
It's the people's front of Judea. No, it's the Judean's people's front.
No, it's the Judean Popular Front you're thinking of, mate.
Oh. Whatever happened to him?
He's over there, look. Yeah. Splitter!
So, for question two. Concordia is the system which is the capital of the Marlinist colonies.
That's the second one in a row where I'd narrowed it down to two and I couldn't remember, and I picked the wrong one.
Concordia, that's like an agreement. That makes sense. I see why they've called it that. Hey, look at me knowing what a word means.
No, it was just that they all had really long noses that wobbled up and down at the front.
When they needed to see what they were reading.
And Empire Day is on January the 2nd. New Year's Day is actually deferred in the Empire until Empire Day, and they just kind of have a double celebration. So I gave a point for some of the people who took the time to write me a little essay. So. But it isn't any day the Emperor... It isn't any day the Emperor chooses, it's January the 2nd.
But he maybe chose it. You were given points for generic answers. So. And you said, that one particular day. So I put in that one day, that one particular day.
I would argue, though, it's not the best day of the year. I mean, how many people are still hungover on January 2nd? How can it possibly be the best day of the year?
Well, in the Empire, as I said, New Year's Day is deferred until that day, so none.
Yeah, but that's the minority of people.
What, the population is the Empire who celebrate. And people outside the Empire don't celebrate Empire Day. What are you doing?
Yeah, but it's not the best day of the year. If you took a random sample of people and asked them if it was the best day of the year, they'd probably still have a splitting headache.
Marx has got it right. They don't sober up. They just keep going.
Okay, yeah, fair point. Yeah, I'll give you it for that. It's still Hogmanay, isn't it?
I'm leaving the point there, though. And it's unfortunately Tuesday. It's on a Friday in 3312, the upcoming one, not Tuesday. So close. And let's see how we did.
Careful, Jinx. Quizmaster's an imperialist.
I am terrible at imperial lore.
We have, for some reason, the person in the chat and or audience most opposed to the Empire came in first with 14 points.
Know your enemy.
So well done, Jinx, with 14, Bograt, 11. And we have, I don't know how to say that name, Getadoy. I probably said it wrong, in any case.
Getadoy.
Joint 7th with Naughty Body Wash.
Yeah, Naughty Body Wash is really good. I think Naughty Body Wash came in slightly late as well, so yeah, that's not bad.
Gritty Cleft.
I didn't even place.
Gritty Cleft is a very inventive name.
It's a pseudonym of Sandy Crevice.
You know, Jinx, I read Drew's books recently and it didn't help me in the slightest.
In any case, well done, everybody.
That was fun. Thank you.
Always is. Right. Quiz outro, quiz outro, quiz outro. Need to get those files off David at some point. And we are done with the quiz.
Dum-ba-dum-ba-dum.
Where's my script gone? Ah, yes. I remember what comes next. Me frantically finding the page that hasn't got the timeout buttons on it, but instead has got the rest of the show. Let's try that page. Yep, that'll do. Because I think, if you're ready, Flossie.
I'm ready.
Time to hand over for the CG news.
It's Flossie. It's Flossie. It's Flossie. It's Flossie. And the community goes.
Hello, Flossie here with this week's CG News. Last 2 weeks, CG, Zorgan Peterson Exobiology Initiative, finished on Tuesday at 1400 UTC. It's completed short of Tier 3 with 183,333 samples collected by 12,172 contributors. Anyone contributing at least one set of three samples receives a Caspian paint job and Zorgan Peterson decal, as well as credits for their own personal tier achievements. There's no CGs this week, probably not now till the new year. So that's it for this week's CG News.
Flossie told you what to do.
Shall I do it?
Go for it.
Next up, we have Beetlejuice and Wotherspoon.
Galnet News Update, 18th of December, 3311.
Visitors and veterans have gathered at the War Memorial to celebrate the first anniversary of the end of the Second Thargoid War. Meanwhile, the Internecine War around HIP 87621 is just getting going. It was 11 years this week since the modern frameshift drive was made generally available by the Sirius Corporation, a breakthrough that made possible the first trips to the centre of the galaxy and onwards to the far galactic rim. This year we also mark the first anniversary of the ending of the 2 years of conflict between humanity and the strange xenological intelligence, the Thargoids. It may be that the two events are linked. Less than 2 years after Sirius technology made exploration trivially easy, we began to find evidence of the Thargoids, a slow and steady build-up in tension between the species following a series of encounters came to a head in August 3308, when an audacious and some would say downright evil attempt to wipe out the Thargoids completely was countered by a full-scale Thargoid invasion that ran from November 3308 to December last year. Tens of billions of lives were lost, hundreds of systems were abandoned to the aliens, and the whole way of life in the bubble was disrupted, with all available resources directed to defeating the Thargoid menace. And after 2 years of fighting, we defeated the last of the eight Titan motherships in orbit above planet Earth. The Thargoids retreated, and despite a small population of them in the Rimwood Nebulas, we have put the conflict firmly behind us. We have repopulated abandoned systems and starports, and we've done so much more, colonizing a much larger part of the galaxy, swelling the bubble to at least 4 times its size in less than a year.
But it's not all progress for humanity. We no longer have to fight off a common alien invader, so now we're bickering among ourselves about access to the still unquantified magical powers of the Radicoida Unica of HIP 87621. Well, not all of us. Supporters of Zemina Torval have joined those of Jerome Archer in proclaiming the contest to win control of a new powerful module as unseemly and unbefitting a civilized power. That leaves 10 powers still in the contest, with the strongest showing this week coming from the Emperor and from the Simguru. With little progress from Princess Ashling, there's now a 3-way tie in first place, with Alliance Councillor Nakato Kane and retired Admiral Grom in a creditable 4th and 5th place. These 5 powers all now have strongholds, while Delane, Petraeus and Mahn have 1 fortified system each. President Winters now has 2 exploited systems instead of the 1 fortified system she held last week, while the Sirius Corporation CEO, Li Yongrui, continues to hold on by the narrowest of margins with a single exploited system. One, or perhaps both, of Winters and Li are likely to be eliminated on Christmas Day next week, while Mahn, Petraeus and Grom will need to redouble their efforts if they wish to remain in the contest. The Radicoida War is expected to last for many more months, and it looks likely that Simguru Pranavantal, Princess Ashling Duval, and Emperor Arissa plan to go the distance.
Wow, what a year it's been. I didn't realise. I must have blinked and missed it.
Me too, but then I always do.
Well, yeah, it happened above you, so. Yep. You really need to learn to look up, Amelia.
I know, right? I'm terrible.
Well, no, but you failed to look up all the time. Have you got a stiff neck, maybe? Is that the problem?
I'm constantly looking down because Mooncake is usually attacking my feet.
Ah, that would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Have you thought a helium balloon tied to her tail so you can look forwards and see where she is by the thing bobbing around?
That's actually a really good idea.
She'd just be walking about in her front 2 paws, wondering what's going on.
I think that might take 2 helium balloons. I'm not calling her a chonker, but they don't lift that much.
No, she's a chonker. Well, no, actually, no, she's...
No, she's hefty, but only because she's big, not because she's round.
I think it's like her winter floof that's making her look a bit chunkier than usual.
Well, we've all used that excuse.
Yeah, winter floof.
Yeah. It's just my winter floof. It'll be gone in the spring.
Yeah, I mean, all these people talk about working on their summer bodies. I much prefer working on a winter body.
Oh, yeah.
I love winter. Your dog used to be like that.
He used to put his winter floof on. And then you knew when it was the summer because his floof had gone away and he had a waistline, finally.
and the carpet was 3 inches thicker than it used to be.
Oh, the carpet generally was. You used to be able to take the fur off of him in, like, armfuls. Honestly, mm-hmm. You could have made a jumper out of it. It was shocking.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that whole thing of putting on a bit of weight for the winter is, yeah, that's a definite thing.
It's good for you, definitely.
Yes. Yeah.
I like it. It's a good thing.
Well, that's my excuse anyway.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah.
Ditto.
So quickly, thank you to Beetlejuice and Witherspoon for more delicious digestion.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where would we be without them? We'd have to read Galnet ourselves. Yeah. It'd be awful, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It'd be terrible. We wouldn't do it.
Could you imagine me reading it? It would just go on forever.
It'd be a different article every time.
Yep. The same article, same words, different.
Yeah. Hey, it'd save on scripting, though. Anyway, I
think that's probably it for the night.
That's it for the night.
Probably it until after Christmas and New Year.
It's it for the year.
Next week, Christmas Day falls on our regular scheduled broadcast. And, you know, and then literally New Year's Day, the week after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a definite chance that somebody will pop on and stream something in the next 2 weeks or so. I mean, David often does over Christmas, so we shall see. But don't hold your breath, and certainly don't set any alarms for the usual slightly delayed time on the usual slightly delayed day, because that's unlikely to happen. But keep an eye on Discord and keep an eye on Twitch. And if it pops up, it pops up.
Or even your emails, because if you're subscribed to our Twitch channel, you should get a little email pop-up whenever we go online.
This is true. This is true. But for now...
And if you don't, then why aren't you subscribed to our Twitch?
Indeed. But for now, I think there's only one thing left to say for the night. It's three words. They're all
for
three
the
letters long.
For the mug!
For the mug!
And Merry Christmas. And Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas. And the same from me.
Journey too long, or cargo too small. The profit margins never really mattered at all. You're gonna take the cargo where it's needed today. Super cruising all across the Milky Way. We're taking anything, anytime, anywhere. Loading all the tin out to the brim with the rest for the more.
For the more.
For the more.
For the more.
Yeah, you know just where we're coming from. For the more.
For the more.
For the more.
For the more.
Everybody's seen the trucker's song. Flossie always seems to crash into the sun. Skibble lights the pilot on the Xbox One. Having out the free, you know he leads us well. Trucking across the galaxy, now everybody yell. For the more,
for the more,
for the more,
for the more.
Yeah, you know just where we're coming from. For the more,
for the more,
for the more,
for the more.
Everybody's seen the hurting trucker's song. For the more,
for the more,
for the more,
for the more.
You know just where we're coming from. For the more,
for the more,
for the more,
for the more.
Everybody sing the trucker's song. Give me a large path that I can land on, and I'll give you cargo and sing you my song. No point 22 light years to go, cruising to what? No journey too long, no cargo too small. The profit margins never really mattered at all. Gonna take the cargo where it's needed today. Super cruising all across the Milky Way. We're taking anything, anytime, anywhere. So shout it out loud, like you don't even care. For the more,
for the more,
for the more,
for the more.
Yeah, you know just where we're coming from. For the more,
for the more,
for the more.
For the more.
singer and chuck a song for the moth,
for the moth,
for the moth. Yeah, you know just where they're coming from. For the moth,
for the moth,
for the moth. Everybody sing a chuck a song.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's the end of the show. Everyone's buggered off now, so why don't you bugger off too?
Seamless.